The service industry in this country has embraced the concept that the customer is always right, as if it were a holy commandment. But Jillian Clark doesn't buy it. She's the chef and owner of the Colorado Kitchen, a restaurant in Washington, D.C. She decided that have it your way simply didn't apply to a restaurant aiming at more gourmet tastes. So she said no. No, you can't have the tapenade instead of the tomato coulis. No, you can't have it sautéed instead of grilled. No, you can't have rice pilaf instead of potatoes dauphinoise. Jillian Clark joins me in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Hello. So, why so strict?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's a strictness more than an adherence to our vision. I think I'm in the position, since I prepared the food, to know a little bit better, and there are things that just don't go together. They don't go together also in a culinary sense and a digestive sense, but also sometimes they don't go together in a food cost sense. We run a restaurant where everything on the menu is below $20, so a substitution can break a food cost on an item.
So it's partly a business reason and partly an aesthetic reason.
It's a business, aesthetic, digestive reason. And there's one case where we serve our fried shrimp with our coleslaw, which we've sort of invented this recipe. We use a roasted garlic vinaigrette, lemon juice, and sugar, salt and pepper, savoy, and red cabbages. But I think people have their own coleslaw prejudices, so they always want to sub it with mashed potatoes, which our mashed potatoes are cream and butter and, you know, and that going with the fried shrimp and the tartar sauce, you really need something acidic to sort of make that rich dinner go down. So we generally try and talk people out of that mashed potato substitution. We want everybody to leave feeling really good. And the minute you are having situations where people are feeling like, ugh, after they've eaten, they're not going to come back.
Is there any time that people have asked for things for dietary reasons that you feel, okay, I don't want to kill this person if they have a major allergy, but maybe you steer them to a different dish, or do you try to make something that would prepare it differently?
We have had the shellfish allergy issue, and when I was sautéing the shrimp and scallops and we met with people that had scallop allergies, we would omit the scallops.
What are some of the strangest things that customers have asked for, things that you just would never imagine?
The Atkins diet or wanting another steak instead of potatoes.
And that's the diet that says all protein and no carbohydrates. Well, that's a pretty good dodge. I'm on an Atkins diet. I need two steaks. I have to keep that one in mind. Now, your ideas about how the chef should sort of have the final say or close to the final say about what's on the menu kind of came to light after you wrote a letter to the Washington Post food critic Tom Sietsma, and it got a lot of response.
I was really impressed at how angry a lot of people were, and I think a lot of it is because food is such a personal thing for all of us. But I've had chefs call me and just say, you go, you know, because they've had to deal with a lot of issues. But one French chef has a restaurant on Connecticut Avenue and downtown, and he's had people just close their menu and say, nothing on here is good. I want to make something up and have you cook it. And he's basically thrown them out of his restaurant. This is a strange combination for many of us in this business of love and ego. Most of us in this business do it because we love people and we love food and we love all the things that food can do. And we have this vision in our head and we create it. And when it leaves our kitchen, we'd hope that when we're putting that plate up and giving it to the customer that they see that.
So is the restaurant, have you suffered at all? Have people stopped coming and saying she's too highfalutin for my taste?
Actually, we've been really busy. And it's funny because the joke at the staff has been like, everybody wants to come and test the angry chef. And we just thought that people would be coming in and ordering crazy substitutions, but that hasn't happened at all.
I saw the comment, I can't remember if you made it or not, that going to a restaurant and asking for a major change is like going to Carnegie Hall and saying, excuse me, instead of playing Tchaikovsky tonight, could you please play the Debussy? Because I'm really a lot more fond of the French composers.
I got a lot of flack from people reading that, thinking I was comparing myself to Beethoven. And, well, I'm actually comparing myself to Herbert von Karajan, in that I'm the interpreter of the salmon, not the creator. And that's something, I guess it's a little hard for people to wrap their brains around, that they're not always going to have it the way they like it and relax and be thrilled because, you know, maybe it's going to be a good thing that the meatloaf isn't like your mother's. We consider ourselves, to some extent, being in show business. When those doors open at 5, it's showtime. We're all performing. The servers are performing. The kitchen, because it's an open kitchen, has to be on its best behavior. And we've all prepared for this event much the same way as a dress rehearsal, in getting everything ready to go and making sure the plates look a certain way. And I would suspect that if I were a diner, I would want to be in the restaurant where the chef cares enough to want it a certain way.
Jillian Clark is the chef and owner of Colorado Kitchen, a restaurant in Washington, D.C. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.